up being on some chill shit. We go 0 to 100, nigga, real quick.
And welcome to the world famous Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com here on Listen Live and our tune in listeners. And this is Drake, 0 to 100. Listen very carefully to this song because, well, it's like all the others.
Oh, yeah, all these songs are the same. This guy's going to tell us how much money he's got, right?
I think it's a pretty good thing. Listen to how much money Drake has here. And
well, what good is that going to do? All that's going to do is make a lot of your members of your audience that are not doing well financially. Most of them are white, yes.
Most are white, all right.
Yeah, that's the truth. All right, well, hold on. I don't mean it racially. Just listen to how much money Drake has and how good his life is. And, you know.
Steph Curry with the shot.
There you go.
You know. Chef Curry with the pot, boy.
What?
360 with well,
what is he talking about? Chef Boyardee. What are
you...
Say Chef Boyardee.
And there's the N-word, by the way. If anyone missed the N-word, there it is.
I should probably sign a hit, boy, because I got all the hits, boy.
Yeah.
Fuck all that Drake, you got to chill shit. I be on my little mouse drill shit. Fuck all that rap to pay your bill shit. Yeah, I'm on some rappers pay my bill shit. All up on TV, I thought it made me richer. Wasn't paying me enough, I needed something quicker. So now I'm all in Nico basement, putting working on the phones. Either that or drive the money mart to make the pickups. Man, it's 2008.
There's Drake, that's called 0 to 100. And, Zero to 100, the catch up.
Every night, late night, gotta watch
this. You know, you listen to Drake, and this is a kid who's supremely, at least through his music, he is supremely confident.
Well, this kid is talking. He's got money, and then he said, because I listened to the part of it.
Now, what is this young man's name?
This is Drake. And,
Drake, he was on the ESPYs.
Yeah, they had him being a host on an ESPY award.
He was on the ESPYs?
That's my understanding, right?
Yeah, that's what I heard. I didn't watch it, though.
I know, because I don't have it on here. When you guys are working, I don't have the ESPYs on, because I could give a, you know...
Why don't you like the ESPYs? Excuse me for a minute. I'm sorry. Why,
God, man, Mr. Henry told you not to do that.
I'll take my direction from Mr. Henry alone.
Please don't do that, Margaret. That'll be the 900th time I've asked you.
Oh, is that the night? Ladies and gentlemen, those of you that are not watching Phil TV, he put his right hand in the air and he went, 900th.
Yeah, Phil, once again, you're waving that hand around and there's not a lot of support coming from the wrist. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, Miss Henry.
Oh, well, all right. Let's get... Okay, here's sidetrack number one. I want to keep track of all these sidetracks, you know. Sidetrack number one is the right hand, the wrist is not supporting the hand.
Yes, God. Are you going to make a big deal out of it?
Yeah, but all we're saying is it was limp.
That's all we're saying. That's all we're saying, Phil. There's no need to get upset. We're just saying the right hand, the wrist is limp. Yeah, I mean, you know, I realize I'm saying it's all we're saying, but, you know, you're walking around going, ooh!
You know, all right, I'm not walking around doing... You guys are just trying to be funny, I think, and you're failing miserably.
Join the club.
Oh,
that was nice, bud.
Thank you.
All right, God, bud, what was that?
No, man, what do you think, a yodel contest?
It's not a yodel contest, I just kind of... clearing my throat out and everything.
Speaking of clearing out my throat, I don't like you going, ooh, because it sounds like you're trying to be me. And when am I singing next?
You're singing next whenever you want to sing next. I don't know. But let me just introduce the show, if it's okay with you.
Phil, of course it is.
Well, if it's okay with you, I'd like to introduce the show.
Go ahead and introduce the show, Phil. We didn't mean it. It was just that the right hand,
I know, wasn't supported properly by my wrist. So... welcome to the show. Anyway, that's Drake, 0 to 100, and we were talking about Drake, right?
Oh, yeah. I want to know about Drake. Now, I want to know everything there is to know about Drake. This young man is fascinating to me.
Well, first of all, he...
I'm bored with it now.
Anyway, that's 0 to 100. Yes, he is supremely confident, General.
Yeah, well, he sounds like he's 27 years of age. The young man apparently has banked at least 100 million. Is that my... understanding?
I don't know. I mean, the last time I heard Drake refer to the money that he had, he was 25 sitting on 25 mil. That was when he was 25, so that's 2 years ago. I would imagine he is now brushing, or if you will, pardon the expression, tickling the 100 million mark.
Yeah, but what's the whole point of bringing all this stuff up anyway?
Well, I think the point of bringing all of this up is that we can look down our... Excuse me, I just belched too, Margaret.
Well, see, and you don't... Who's there to say to you, not you...
Yeah, who's there to tell you not to belch, Phil?
You guys, all four of you? How about that?
All right, Phil, you don't have to go, you guys. We understand, Phil. I'm speaking for all of... Am I speaking for you?
Yes, you're in this instance.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right.
We understand that you belch at will. When I belch, I am virtually laid out on the cross. Not literally, but I'm laid out on the cross. And you, in your Roman centurion uniform...
All right, Margaret, for God's sake. That's a bit extreme.
You know what I mean.
Sure, I know what you mean.
Look at the sarcasm.
Let me just say... So he's got a lot of bread, and I think one of the things about hip-hop that's so endearing for me is just how in-your-face these guys... I love it. I mean, I'm telling you, I love how in-your-face these guys get. I've got money! Hundreds of millions! Do you know how much bread Jay-Z is worth?
Now, who's this Jay-Z?
That's another hip-hop guy!
It's hip-hop, very, very big... He was the guy that got into the fight with the...
Is that the lady in the... Was a young lady that kicked the crap out of him, right?
No, she didn't kick the crap out of him. It was just a slap fest or something.
Yeah, it was like they were slapping. That guy, Jay-Z's got $500 million. $500 million, $500 million, all right? That's not as much as Warren Buffett, but the point is that puts him in a very, very rarefied category. Now... If you want to talk billionaire, the big news, the biggest news out of hip-hop over the last God knows how many years has been the sale of Dr. Dre's company, this Beat Phone. He sold it to a larger company, $3.2 billion. Now, I don't know how much of that money, goes into his pocket.
Yeah, wait a second. Dr. Dre?
Yeah, man, you didn't see the news?
God damn, man. So he's a billionaire.
Well, yes, he has said that... Of that money, I don't know how much of that is going into his pocket, but this is the result not of his music. This is the result of a piece of hardware.
These are headphones.
They're headphones, and I suppose I haven't used them, but I guess they may have something to do with the accenting, if you will, of hip-hop music, or just music. They are headphones called Beat Phones, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
See, every time you use the word beat, this one over here wants to do the beat off.
Hey, bud, don't do that, okay?
I didn't do it.
He didn't do it, Phil. Margaret was anticipating it.
Yes, I anticipate. That's why I'm doing it now.
Well, Margaret, don't sit there going doing the beat off and he didn't do it.
Don't sit there doing the... I'm not beating...
I'm not saying you are the hand.
Would you not do it, please? It's me doing it is one thing. You doing it looks...
It looks a little...
It looks like you're going to sit there and just go, oh, Margaret, yeah.
Oh, would you grow up? You guys are something else, I'm telling you. And that whole filth fight and the whole pulling it thing, thank God we're off of that. Or are we?
Probably not.
Anyway, as soon as we get that cut up into drops, which ought to be any day now, any year now, any month now, any century now, why, we will be sure to get that over to our drop file and begin to use it in a ad nauseum fashion. However, up until then... forget it. Now, the other thing that's going on is the Steve Dooley hip-hop project. Steve wants to do a hip-hop... he wants to do the hip-hop version of... what the hell is he doing?
He wants to do a hip-hop celebrating cuddling because he...
Well, because of his sexual dysfunction.
Yeah, well, he's going to have to go better with something better than this, because...
What's wrong it is?
Well, that's a good basic rap beat,
I guess. Don't you have to, sample shit,
What does that mean, sample shit?
Yes.
It means you got to take a song from a popular song and use some of the... Anyway, that's going to be happening very shortly. Now, the other piece of news that I want to lay on all of you...
Now, wait, hold on. I want to know something. When is this hip-hop that Steve Dooley... What?
It's going to be happening within the week. I think he's going to, quote, drop his new hip-hop track called I Cuddle Like a... Well...
You can say it, because on account of the digital.
Go ahead.
I cuddle like a motherfucker.
The language is absolutely out of control on this point. Would you turn that down, please? Would you turn...
Margaret, she is...
Turn it down.
Ow.
I didn't hit you.
I know, my hand hit the microphone. All right. So also coming up...
I'm not done yet.
Yes, you are done, because I want to finish this, if you don't mind.
God, Phil...
Let's see.
Yeah, see, you don't even know what you want to say.
Yes, I do. Also, this weekend, we're debuting, for you, the new BSP show. So the new BSP only Saturday show begins on what day?
Saturday.
Right. That'll be tomorrow, our new BSP only Saturday show debuting tomorrow. Tomorrow. So if you are not yet a Backstage Pass member, just one more reason why. We've got another classic podcast dropping today, episode 373. I have no idea what it's going to be, but it's I can guarantee you one thing. It'll be from the month of July in some year past.
But you know, you should tell people what it is, though.
I don't know what it is yet. I don't think it's been... Have we picked one yet, bud?
Not yet, but probably it'll be good.
Oh, probably it'll be good. Every single podcast, every single classic podcast is a freaking killer, man. I can tell you that much. The other thing is, if you're a Backstage Pass member, but you don't happen to be at your Phil TV right now, because a lot of BSPs will check this out via Phil TV or, you know, on demand, go over to our homepage and look for that big red button that says comment here anytime during the Backstage Pass pre-show from 8:30 PST to 9 a.m. PST. It's a very specific time, 8:30 to 9, you need to be on that post. And once you comment there, you're automatically entered for a chance to win the VIP package to our one-man show July the 30th at the Improv in Hollywood, California. Hollywood Improv, July 30. The show is sold out completely. There are no more tickets available, but we have this VIP package, which is pretty sweet, you know.
Now, I did see the VIP list of... I don't see Frank and I on that.
Margaret, you're in the show, okay?
Well, what's with you? I'm asking, shouldn't I also be...
No, you could be on it. Frank's on it.
I didn't see Frank and I on it.
Frank's on the list. Is Frank on the list?
Yes, Frank's on... Where do you get off talking to me like that? I'm asking you, Phil.
Margaret, you're in the show. Why would your name be on the VIP list if you're in the show?
Because... Never mind.
Yeah, Miss Brown, I already told you about that.
So you told Margaret that.
I didn't understand what he was saying. He was saying something to me that I... He said, Margaret...
Well, Margaret, you know, just because you're not listening...
Why is everyone ganging up on me?
Oh, have a little bit of tough skin here, okay?
A little bit of tough skin? What?
Why don't you just butch up, in other words, and just tank a little bit of the heat here, okay? If your name isn't on the VIP list, it's because your ass is in the show.
Oh, my ass is in the show.
Yeah, your ass is in the show, and that's what it ought to be.
He can say ass, you can't. You understand?
Ow!
Yeah, right there. There's lesson one today.
Yeah, hold the phone, folks, while I try to get my coffee back here. All right, we got some news that I'd like to read, if I can. I don't know.
Hey, by the way, that show you were watching last night, that Air Disasters, boy, that's one holy hell of a show, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. We were watching a show last night. You guys ought to check it out. I mean, it's messed up, but it looks at airline disasters or air crashes from strictly the NTSB FAA investigative point of view, see? So it's not a dramatic show in that, yes, all these lives were lost, which of course that we understand that that's the case. But this is, in my opinion, it's more interesting because it gets to the actual specifics of why things happen. And I've watched a number of these. It's called Air Disasters. It's on the Smithsonian Channel, which has become one of my favorite. I mean, you talk about if you want a real square, real boring guy to watch TV with, I'm your man because I watch the History Channel, the Smithsonian Channel. I watch some porn. And then...
Oh, you do not.
Just kidding. But, the Smithsonian Channel has this thing called Air Disasters. I think it's also on ID. That's another one of my favorite channels, as you know. But this has this show. Now, they were talking last night about, what was it, General?
Well, it was this Tran Air. Now, this was an airline from Chile, if I'm not mistaken, right?
It was either Chile. It was a South American country. You're right, yeah. And this was an airline called Tran.
Well, Tran.
Yeah, man, what's that? Like an airline they only allow cross-dressers on? Yeah, give me five.
Get out of here, give me five. No, it was actually an airline that was started by the Chilean military. It was an airline, a commercial carrier, started by the Chilean military. Who knows how they do things down there? And it was an airline from the gate that was completely butchered up. The pilots were either active duty military or they were retired military. And the reason why that was a problem is because military pilots and civilian pilots have a slightly different orientation. Yes, they're both trained in flying aircraft, you know, but on the one side, a military pilot is trained much more to get the mission completed, to finish the mission, to follow orders, and to go from A to C, or A to Z.
But why A to C?
Yeah, because of them there.
Yeah, sure, it ends at C. God.
What difference does it make? What a couple of clodhoppers.
Wait, he said A to C.
I know. Sometimes it'll end at C. Sometimes it'll end at Z.
What about, like, well...
What, General?
Well, at P or M?
Yeah, P or M.
Sure, it'll end at P or M.
Well, why are you all upset?
What do I got to explain to you guys this stuff for? So the military pilot is trained to end the mission successfully, regardless, in many instances, of what happens to himself. Now, it doesn't mean that a military guy goes flying into a mission and he's going to kill everybody on board, but as long as he gets the plane landed. And don't ask me how you land a plane if you're dead, bud, okay?
Well, I mean, these are logical questions that only that we ask on behalf of the audience.
Well, that's a very good point, Phil. They're asking questions the audience may ask.
Right. So if a guy is flying a jet and he decides that he's going to fly that jet even at the risk of his own life and he dies, he still wants to land that plane, right?
Well, yeah, technically, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And he can fly it while he's dead?
Well, I mean, he's going to give his life for his country, Mr. Henry. That's what it's all about and everything.
Well, that's a good point, Phil. We in the military are trained that our lives are expendable. The mission is everything.
How do you land a plane when you're dead?
You'd be surprised. Did you know the guy of Rudy Safran? Do you know Rudy Safran? Do you know this name? He's a very famous name, or he should be a famous name, in the military. He's not, but he was a man that I knew, and he flew for the United States Air Force, and this was during Vietnam. It wasn't in Vietnam, but he was training here in the United States, and when he landed, he was dead at the controls. And they said, they said, well, he died probably halfway through the flight, and the plane was so intent on getting his butt... Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
You're talking about a dead man? I'm telling you, the guy was dead when he landed.
No question, he probably had a heart attack or something on landing, and the plane, fortunately, was brought to a stop. Maybe he had the heart attack just as he was applying the brakes. Who knows?
Well, that is a good point, General.
Oh, horse dung. Are you trying to... You're trying to smear the name of a great American hero.
Rudy Safran, huh?
That's right, Rudy Safran. He was a lieutenant colonel in the United States Air Force.
And he landed the plane and he was dead.
As far as that was my understanding, someone said he looked dead. If he should have been dead if he wasn't. Let me put it that way. I don't know.
Yeah, all right.
What does that mean?
It means they'd been out the night before. They were in Bordeaux, France. Forget it.
And they were out hammering... Yeah, they were killing brain cells is what they were doing.
What's that mean?
Drinking. So, a military pilot, now I gotta take a break. God, GD it anyway? Can I finish a story around here?
We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, as Phil begins to cry and whine and all the things that, you know...
That's right, I'm gonna cry and whine here, folks. All right, welcome back, welcome back to a break. Anyway, here is Overkill with Bitter Pill on the world-famous Phil Henry Show from their fantastic smash hit album, I don't know, White Devil Armory.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be back as Phil continues to try to explain the whole thing about military and civilian pilots.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Gunslingers, breakfast and lunch. I love to stop there and get eggs and chili on my way into the Phil Henry Show. Don't say it, bud. I'm Margaret Gray, and there's no better place for breakfast if you're not on the beach than Gunslingers in the Caneo Valley. Yes, they sling it up and they gun it right to your table. Wait till you see how they serve the chili. I'm not sure whether I am absolutely in love with the process or thoroughly disgusted by it. But Gunslinger's chili and eggs is their specialty and I live on it.
Gunslinger's chili and eggs. It's just one reason why you ought to go to Gunslinger's and watch them pull their gun. Jesus Christ.
What does that mean, Jesus? Did you hear the language?
Yeah, I heard the language. Swallow me like poison, back down, turn around,
double down, breaking me, run down, ghost town, pain will reach your misery. It's a wonderful, but you know Gunslingers?
I've heard of it, yeah. I don't like the commercial, but they are paying for it, so.
Jesus, yeah. Yeah, I'm saying, you shouldn't be bad-mouthing no commercial on it. I've got a feeling Mr. Hall got a call.
Oh, is Mr. Hall going to call? Do you think Mr. Hall's going to call? You know, the only reason why that guy calls is because you call him up and squeal.
I didn't say a thing, man. Well, I sort of did.
Yeah. All right, that is Overkill, and yeah, that's Overkill, all right. I'm kidding. Although, that's not a favorite track of mine. I don't really like that.
Well, then why are you playing it?
Because I think it should be given its fair hearing. Just because I'm not nuts about a track doesn't mean it shouldn't be heard. It should be heard, and people can then judge, you know. David G. Hall on the line with us. David, I'm just going to tell you this. I don't know exactly what it is that restaurant's about. I'm just saying the commercial.
You forget about the commercial, will you, Phil? Because right now what we're trying to, we're struggling to stay alive. The advertising dollars are drying up all over the country, as you well know. And we sure as hell can't. You're on there talking about this guy, this Gunslinger's Cafe. The guy that started that cafe is a very good friend of mine. Rob Oswald. He's a good friend of mine, but I and believe me when I tell you, Rob, I've just never paid attention to your last name, Rob, because we don't do a lot of business. We do business, yes. You're right. You did buy ad time with me. And the reason why I don't, I got to explain this, Phil.
Go ahead.
You don't know the man's name.
Excuse me, Margaret. I got to excuse me. Rob, if you're listening, I don't know your last name because I am a man who is, I'm a first name guy. You know this about me, and you have, and I think you've commented before that you admire it. And so that's why I don't know your last. I know your last name has something to do with. I thought it was Charles Osgood, but it isn't. It's Oswald or some goddamn, excuse my French, some GD thing like that. So, yeah, you know what I mean, right, Rob? If you're out there, just kind of nod your head, and that way I can at least in my own mind.
All right, fine. So, Rob, what's his name?
I told you I don't know. Oswald or Osgood. But anyway, he bought airtime from us, and it is called Gunslinger's Cafe, and he named it after watching a Western, and it reminded him, I think he was watching a Rawhide or something, and it reminded him of how good food around the campfire should taste, because it looks good. He's never been around a campfire, so he's not really sure. You understand? So and Gunslinger is his idea. They come to the table with a couple of six guns.
Yes, and they shoot the chili onto the plate.
They shoot the chili under the plate.
That's right, Phil. And Rob, maybe you'd want to call. They shoot the chili onto the plate, and he was inspired when he watched some thing on TV.
He saw some cowboys around a campfire.
Now, Phil, don't start nitpicking it apart, okay?
Well, you're the guy that made. He saw, and it looked like it ought to taste good. He's never been to a campfire.
He's never been to a campfire. What is it, like some event, like the 4th of July? He's never sat around a campfire.
Well, then why don't you say it that way, Hall? People don't understand what you're talking about.
Excuse me, General, with all respect, I'm talking to Phil Henry about this, all right?
Well,
excuse me, but I'm talking to. So, Rob, if you're out there, we love Gunslingers. Thank you, Margaret, for the question. That's all I'm trying to say. And you're on there talking about chili, and I'm afraid that people are going to think the waitress walks up to the table and.
Yes, and you know, Phil.
No, I don't know. And no, don't mention it.
All right, and shits it out.
I say, don't mention it. You guys didn't have to mention it. You didn't have to go there, and he does.
I didn't do it, Phil. He did.
Now, Phil, let the record show that was David. David,
all right. The record shows that, General. Now, do you mind if we get back to whatever is left of this show? Thank you. God, the.
Got a camera. Your face was faded out. You all right, Miss Henry?
Yeah, I'm all right. Why?
Because your face got faded out on there. I thought, though.
No, that's the camera, Robert. That's not Phil.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, what's wrong with that?
What do you mean, what's wrong with that? He sees that the fader on the video cast got hit, so I was kind of half faded to the other, you know, half faded out, and he. All right.
Well, I know you're not really faded. I just wondered. Yeah, but wondered, did it have no effect?
No, it doesn't have any effect on me. So getting back to this whole GD thing about the Chilean Air Force and the fact they had this airline, right? And the fact they had an airline was, I guess, in and of itself not such a bad thing. But what happened was they had all these guys from the military. And these cats from the military are the pilots. A pilot in the military and a pilot in the civilian in the civilian sector are going to have, at least according to this show that I was watching, they're going to have two slightly different orientations. One of them will be to get the mission done. The other will be safety first. In other words, it doesn't matter if the plane lands at point A or B or M or Z, guys, okay? Because I don't want to go through this again.
Yet!
I don't want to go through it again. It doesn't matter to a civilian pilot if the plane lands at the destination it is supposed to land at, so much as it matters that everyone on board is alive and well and safe when it lands there. He'd rather land someplace else so long as the passengers are safe and the passengers are accounted for, obviously. A military pilot, while he's not thinking of sacrificing the lives of his passengers, that's not what he's thinking as a civilian pilot, but he is oriented toward getting through. And they're showing this air disaster last night on this show, General. You were watching it with me.
Right. Well, the pilot said, we'll go through it.
Right. There was a cloud. It was a particular kind of storm cloud that pilots are very wary of. It's well known to every pilot the world over. And it is a storm cloud that creates a downdraft.
Now, what is a downdraft?
That's when a draft is down.
Is that what that is? Thank you. Hey, what a cheese dick.
Hey.
How about Martin call him a cheese dick?
What do you call me a cheese dick for?
Are you kidding or something?
Wait. A downdraft, Bud, is when the aircraft runs the risk of suddenly losing altitude. It runs into this downdraft created by this particular storm cloud, and the plane will lose thousands of feet in altitude immediately and can literally crash as a result of that. And there have been crashes, most recently here in the United States outside of Dallas. I think there was a Delta jet that went down hitting this storm system and hitting this downdraft. So, and of course, they have learned through the years how to deal with this. One of them is you don't go through a storm system like that. But this pilot decided he was going to do that.
Now, this guy said, we'll get through it, let's go, because the airport was, and he could see the runway lights, couldn't he?
Well, I don't know if he could see the runway lights, but I think they knew that they were within landing distance. So he decides to go through. They hit this downdraft. And the other mistake that was made is that instead of three men in the cockpit at this particular time, where they were supposed to have at least another set of eyes during this storm, that third man had gone out to sit in the cabin because his seatbelt wasn't working properly. So now they had two guys in the cabin. One of them was a guy who was a rookie. He did not have a lot of hours flying. And when the more experienced pilot, as they were coming in, looked over at this younger pilot, he said, let me take the controls. That was mistake number two.
Now, why would that be a mistake?
Because he now turned that officer who had the controls of the plane into the first officer, which means that young man is now in charge of looking for runway lights, checking airspeed, etc. He has the job of he has a completely different job than just flying the aircraft. He has the job now of making sure the altitude is right, making sure that he has a visual sighting of the landing lights and things like that. The more experienced pilot, yes, but nonetheless, the pilot is now this more experienced man who, his job has suddenly changed, and he is now feeling the aircraft for the first time in a while, and he's flying through the storm. So their jobs became confused for just enough time to allow a tragic chain of events to take place. So the first thing that happens is they don't have that third set of eyes. The second thing that happens is the decision is made to go through this storm system and just get the plane landed. And then the final decision that is made that is a disastrous decision is to exchange duties. Now he's taken over the controls of the plane, and the other guy is now the eyes and the ears. And the other guy, he keeps being asked by this more experienced pilot, do you see the landing lights? Do you see the runway?
Yeah, and he didn't see anything, and he was very confused. He's looking at the altimeter.
This younger guy is no, I don't see it, and he's screaming this out, and he's also trying to look at the altimeter, And so nothing's really getting done. And the plane hits this downdraft. Down it goes. Boom. It hits the side of a mountain.
They didn't hit the runway.
No, they didn't hit the runway. They hit a mountain. And they hit this mountain, obviously covered in clouds. And if you've ever been flying in a bunch of clouds, it's one thing to be flying in a bunch of clouds if you're on a jet. It's another thing to be flying in a bunch of clouds if you're on a prop job, which I was. I told the story.
This is the when you were in Fiji.
Yeah, when we were traveling inter-island in Fiji with a packed prop plane, and everybody on this plane was nervous as hell, and including the lady sitting behind me. I told you, she was grabbing my shoulder, and she was, you know, nervous as hell. And the plane has hit this turbulence. And we're covered in clouds. So I swear to God, you know, all of the Patsy Cline things.
Who's Patsy Cline?
She was in an aircraft that hit the side of a mountain, right?
I thought Patsy Cline was in an automobile accident.
Patsy Cline was in automobile accidents, yeah. But I think the end came when she hit a mountain in an airplane. I mean, her, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd, you name it. I mean, every plane crash that I ever thought of.
Well, so you're putting yourself in the same category with Lynyrd Skynyrd and Patsy. Wow.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, good.
No, I'm not. I was just thinking of famous small plane crashes, that's all, that hit mountains. Yeah, that's right. I think I'm Patsy Cline.
Well, that would be, you know, if you, that's pretty weird.
Never mind. Forget the gender confusion alone, you know.
You want me to get Frank? Speaking of gender confusion, you want Frank?
No, I don't want Frank. No, I don't want Frank.
Good. I'm the one that should want Frank, and I do want him, darling.
Dad.
What's everyone looking at me for? I thought that was a good line.
No, it's not a good line.
No, it was not a good line. It was completely out of, forget it. All right, we're going to be back on the Phil Henry Show here and philhenryshow.com with more of this fantastic show. Don't forget, as I say, tomorrow it is our Saturday, BSP-only Saturday show debuting tomorrow on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll have episode 373, I think it's 373, of our classic podcast coming up later on today. Thank God it's Friday. Thank God it's Friday.
Oh, you're going to say that again? Wait a minute, Phil.
Thank God it's Friday.
There's Schoolboy Q on a Phil Henry Show.
Schoolboy Q and Studio.
You know, Barnaby's is where I go to get those great fitting hats, as well as ties and the string tie and bow tie. There's a lot of you guys out there that wear bow ties regardless of what the rest of the world thinks. And I'm one of them, too, so I'm with you, buddy. This is General Galen Shaw telling you there's no better place in the world to be fitted personally with a bow tie than Barnaby's. They have special areas that you can stand behind so that people walking by in the street don't think you're some kind of a freak. Excuse me.
Need some water.
So that people walking by in the street don't stare in like a bunch of bug-eyed freaks while you are trying to affect a very tasteful bow tie, have it tied properly by Jerry or Jim, or of course Earl, who's their special bow tie tire. He's 75 years of age. He used to work at a cafe in the southeast, I think in Manning, South Carolina. So if anybody knows how to wear a bow tie, he does. And what's so funny?
Nothing.
That's Barnaby's bow ties, string ties, and hats. And I haven't even gotten into the wonderful hats and string ties they have at Barnaby's on the beach. You know, I'd appreciate when I do a Barnaby, do I have to have the hoppity hip? This is God. I
know that. Well, this is the music Phil insists on.
Oh, give me a break. Who cares?
I'll tell you who cares. The people that go to Barnaby's.
They got a lot of the people there.
Girl. Is that why they got a lot of people there? In general, you know, whatever, man. So there's cats, you know, so there's hip-hop. What, the cats that want to buy bow ties are not going to buy bow ties because they're hearing this?
Yeah, that's pretty much it, Phil. Hey.
Good one, Phil.
Oh, look at the big brain on Phil, yeah.
Whatever. Tell the truth, for sure it was you in this booth that I was blazing. So I'm just sitting in the studio just trying to get to you, baby. Throw a low key pussy, girl, you knowin' that your nigga faded.
Can I hit that pussy way I wanna while this record playing?
Yeah.
Put my tongue in different places, play a game of operation. Like, na 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 la la la, you get what I'm saying? Yeah. No metaphors, nothing like that. I'm keeping it straight to the point with you.
All right,
you.
Thanks a lot, Schoolboy Q. It's all good. That is Studio. I was just looking at some texts that I was receiving. I have outrage texts coming into me from all sectors on this whole Ukraine thing. You guys...
Well, I thought we were going to talk about the Ukraine, for God's sake, Phil.
Yeah, Phil, you know, I think a lot of people want to talk, but you said you wanted to steer clear of that.
Well, some stuff pisses me off, and some stuff just makes me curious. I mean,
Ukraine?
Ukraine, not Cucraine. Maybe we ought to get a map out and show people where it is. You know, why do we even talk about this stuff until we get a map out, you know?
What do you mean, get a map out?
I'm telling you, we need a map. I'm telling you right now, there's no point in talking about news on the thing here, on our show, unless we have a map that shows people where the hell stuff is.
So you think people are mentally deficient and don't even know where the Kukraine, not Kukraine, I'm sorry, where the Ukraine, and by the way, why do they call it the Ukraine?
There's another thing. We got more people weighing in this world of ours on all kinds of topics, and they couldn't find it with both hands, man. All these cats talking about the Supreme Court is jacked up. All these people talking about the Ukraine is this. Some people talk... The one that really, really got me, and it was going around for a while, checks and balances. Now,
Damn, checks and balances to make more Republicans.
No, that's not what checks and balances is.
Well, what the hell is checks and balances anyway? Are you trying to tell...
Wait, hold on, what? What? Yeah, they got Art Griego.
Art Griego for what?
On an ear disaster.
Oh, I forgot. Okay, hold on just a second, folks. Art Griego joining us here from Santa Monica Airport. Hey, Art, thanks for joining us. We haven't talked to you since the Malaysia 370 thing. Has there been any news on Malaysia 370?
I don't know. Well, as soon as you and I stopped talking about it, I didn't read about it anymore because I got, you know, I got other things I got to do, obviously, and I was bored. Silly by that story, but you, Bud called up and got me out of bed.
Bud, why did you do that?
Did you want to talk to him about the airplane that crashed in the Kukraine?
Will you knock it off with the Kukraine?
No, he's not the Kukraine. I mean, the Ukraine. You're talking about...
I mean, Chile.
Yeah, it was about this Chilean thing.
Yeah, I know about it. With the Tran airline?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a aircraft that was a... I think it was a Boeing... But the people on board, they couldn't find it with both hands. They were a couple of stumble bums.
Well, the thing I saw, the pilot was an experienced military pilot.
Not the one. You're talking about the aircraft that hit the downdraft going into the airport.
Yes.
I heard that the two guys on board were a couple of mechanics that got stuck in the luggage compartment, and then they took the plane off. I don't know. They'd been drinking or something?
No, this is a different one.
I don't know. If you're talking about the one that hit the downdraft that had the experienced pilot and the kid.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, I know that one, too.
What are you talking about?
What is this about two mechanics?
There were a couple of mechanics that got stuck in a luggage compartment somewhere down there, and they had fallen asleep, or they were so hammered, they got disoriented. They went up into the cabin before the pilots got on board and got that thing down to the end of the runway before they were finally stopped by... The police, and they put a fire truck on the runway so they couldn't take off with it.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding.
And where was it?
I don't know. It's been so long, but it was either down in South America or it might have been a Scandinavia. One of the two.
So it's either South America or Scandinavia. Well, thanks for narrowing it down, Griego. Boy, you're a real, you know something, buddy. You're not just a piece of work. You're a Somebody ought to have the people want to take their picture with you and then send it back to relatives and say, look at this piece of freak art. You are...
Well, you know something, General? I think that is very, very unfair of you.
Well, what's this? This is a fascinating story. So two mechanics got into the luggage compartment.
Yeah, Phil, every time I got to explain this stuff to you, you know... Yeah,
every time you have to explain it to us, Art, you have to explain it to us, and I think that's the reason why we're asking questions. Do you even know what it is you're talking about?
Yeah, I think I do, Margaret. Let's see. Was I a pilot? Oh, yes, I was. Were you? No. Oh! So I'm saying that there were two stumble-bump drunks that got into the... They might not even been mechanics. They might have just been people that wandered out of the terminal, got into the luggage compartment, wandered up to the aircraft's cockpit, started the engines, rolled it down to the end of the runway, and tried to take it off, and there was a fire truck there. You telling me I'm a liar?
No, I'm not telling you a liar. I'm asking you where.
I just got done telling you.
Yeah, Scandinavia or South America?
That's right. That's the information that I have. That's the information, that's the newest and latest information.
Oh, get out of here.
He probably just got up.
Did he probably just get up? He just said that you woke him up. All right. God darn, man. So where are we?
You were going to get a map of the Ukraine, or the Kukraine, or whatever the Christ...
It's called the Ukraine. If I hear Kukraine one more time from anybody, I'm gonna come unglued.
What, are you going to fire us? You've threatened to fire us, Phil.
No, because you're doing it on purpose. I won't fire you, but I'm telling you, don't do that. All right, I'm going over here to our search engine. For those of you who are watching on Phil TV in HD, of course, you may follow along with us. We're going to go over to the video computer and take a look at the Ukraine and maps of it. Now, here's just a basic map of the Ukraine, and there's a circle there. This is pro-Russians call for another East Ukraine. This is from a news story, but you can see right there.
I know. That. What's that circle?
That's Donetsk, and that is a town that is being held by the Russians. God.
Well, you just said Ukrainian.
That's the Russians are holding that, the pro-Russians. Now, that is in the far eastern part of the country, as you can see. And south of the Ukraine is the Black Sea. You see Crimea, and Crimea is this large, it's not an isthmus, it's just this large outcropping. It's a peninsula of some kind, a rather odd-shaped peninsula, but nonetheless a peninsular type of region that is now in Russian hands. And you can see, you know, countries don't battle over land for no reason. Nobody is going to go battle over a piece of land unless it's valuable for some reason. No one's going to say, you know, that really ought to be a part of America because, gee, it's just so near us. You battle for things...
But what does that mean, fella? Are you trying to tell me that America, in all of her righteous might...
America is a great country, okay? But even we are not immune to looking... I'll give you an example of that. I'll give you an example, okay?
They talk about America being an empire and everything.
We're not an empire.
We're not an empire in physical terms, in the sense of countries. No, we're not an empire. One can argue that is in the new capitalist global economy, America is very much an empire because there's so much in terms of American business out there. I'm not saying that's bad. It's a new kind of empire. Maybe it's a more benevolent kind of empire. Maybe it's a fairer empire. Everybody's got a shot at taking down the who's leading at the time, as opposed to these physical entities with their armies and their navies and their torture chambers and crap like that.
Well, now you're losing me, Phil. What are you? What do you mean torture chambers?
You're talking about like back in the days of the Kukraine, not the Kukraine. I didn't mean to say that, Phil. In the Russian Empire.
That's the same as the Kukraine, right?
I'm gonna kick your ass if I hear that again.
Sorry, man.
The Ukraine. Yeah, the Russian Empire. Now, there's reasons why countries want cut. During the Spanish-American War, what do you think the first place is that we attacked?
What?
The Spanish-American War.
I don't know that. Is that... What was that?
That was when we only had Spanish-Americans fighting, is that right?
Holy Christ.
You gotta be kidding.
I don't... Most people don't even know what you're talking about, Phil.
Well, they ought to. The Spanish-American War, when America attacked Spain, hello?
America attacked Spain.
Well, you know, there was all kinds of stuff going around that the Spanish had attacked us, that they had sunk a ship called the Maine in Havana, and that was Cuba, and yes, that was part of Spain, bud.
Okay, so we attacked Cuba.
No, we did not attack Cuba, and that's my point. That's my point. The Spanish-American War, the first place we attacked was the Philippines. The Philippines. Now, the argument can be made that America attacked the Philippines because the Philippines was this very threatening Spanish presence in the far western Pacific that threatened America American shipping, American military interactions, America's movement, physical movement in that area of the world. One could make that argument, but that's not really why we attacked the Philippines. We attacked the Philippines because we wanted that that country, that collection of archipelagos.
What's that?
Those are like islands, little islands.
Yeah, that collection, big islands and little islands. We wanted that as a strategic military, a place of military operation, whether it be a series of bases, etc. And we got it. In winning the Spanish-American War, America became the the governing agency there. The Philippines were answerable to the United States. And this was something that was a part of a huge debate in the Congress. Congress people saying, is America now becoming an empire? It was not something, even in 1898, 1900, when this took place, even then people were questioning, why are we going out and attacking parts of the world that are far afield of the country we are at war with, which is Spain? And what are we doing with the Philippines? Well, you know, it's a really good military. You know, Teddy Roosevelt, not Roosevelt, but McKinley, and Roosevelt was very much a pro. I believe he was pro Spanish-American War. I could be wrong. But they wanted that base of operations for the United States military because it was obviously a pretty prominent presence in the Far East. Or near the Far East, so there you go.
All right, so we know that America was empire building. What has this got to do with Russia and the Crimea? Don't tell me. The Crimea is strategically located in the Black Sea.
Mr. Henry was going to say it, and you preempted him.
Well, I needed to preempt him. We got to move this along.
Oh, well, look who wants to move things along all of a sudden. Yes, you're right. If you look at Crimea on that map, you can see that Crimea is located very strategically right smack dab in the middle of the Black Sea. There's the Sea of Azov.
Was that Irving Azov?
Who's he?
Never mind.
Who's Irving Azov? You ever heard of Irving? He's like a guy that's in Hollywood.
He's a very prominent studio head in Hollywood, if you'll pardon the expression. Filthfile that, would you please, Robert?
Yes, ma'am.
Filthfile what?
Studio head. Oh, yeah. Okay, Phil. Oh, gee. I'm trying to clean it up around here. Clean it up.
Margaret, every time...
Clean it up!
Don't be so dramatic, okay?
Margaret, why is it with you that everything's got to be up? Why can't you say it like a decent human being would?
That's the way a decent human being would say it. Now, what were you saying about Crimea so we can get into the break and get past this? Because I am so utterly... I feel a wave of boredom hitting me that is almost paralyzing.
Well, Margaret, I'm afraid you're probably going to be paralyzed then.
Won't be the last time, and it might not be a good thing.
Yeah, you paralyze, your mouth is... I think...
You want me to paralyze something?
Hold on. God, look at what you do to the news when you do that.
You tell it to shut its mouth.
So, Bud, you know what's going to set her off.
No, I said paralyze the mouth.
How'd you like to see you? You can't do that, Bud. If my fist's in there, it's going to sound like this. Oh, go ahead, try it.
All right. Sounds good to me.
Well, you...
Come on, get off of him, will you?
Probably like it.
You know what? I'll see you after the show.
Oh, yeah, in the parking lot?
That's right.
All right. Take it outside after the park...
After the parking lot?
Yeah, what does that mean, Phil?
After the show. So there's the Crimea in the middle of the Black Sea, and that's why Russia wanted it, because as you can see, a big, big presence there in the Black Sea, all kinds of naval bases, all kinds of bullshit that they could have their hands on. You also see some very, very famous names from history. There is Sevastopol, from which the launch of the Light Brigade took place, the British Light Brigade charge from the Crimean War. Here is Yalta. Yalta is where the big three, Churchill, Roosevelt, and Stalin, met during World War II to begin discussions of the post-war Europe. Yalta, very, very famous conference.
Now, where is Malta?
Malta is in the Mediterranean, completely different.
And also at the drugstore with a Malta milk.
Yeah, Malta milk.
Malta milk, isn't that funny? Yeah, at the drugstore with Malta milk.
Dad, well, you have to pretend like you're depressed.
But everything that comes out of your mouth is depressing. You being here depresses me. Oh.
All right, we're going to be back on the Phil Henry Show with more. Thank you very much, Art Griego, for your horse dung. I didn't need you on this show, man. I could have figured that crap out myself. Stars Motionless in White. This is called Reincarnate from the album of the same name.
Oh, yeah. World famous Phil Hendry show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Excuse me, Southern California. I've got my, I suddenly, my jaw locked.
Jim Seal's Auto Farm is back. Yes, we are back in Santa Clarita. We'd like to see everybody out at Jim Seal's Auto Farm in Santa Clarita. Come on out, bring the kids. We're going to have clowns, donuts. We're going to have hot dogs. We're going to have a Ferris wheel. We're going to have a roller coaster. I don't know if we'll have any cars, though, because the actually the transport that was due in from Port Hueneme is a little bit late. So we have very few cars on the lot. But come on out, ride on the roller coaster, eat the hot dogs for free. I mean, the whole thing is, but at least I can talk to you and tell you what kind of a car you, tell me what you want, and I'll see if I can't get it on order. But, again, but come on out. We've had this promotion planned for the last 6 months, and I found out just about 3 minutes ago that the cars may not make it. So come out, eat my hot dogs for free, eat my donuts for free. I'll give the kids the free chocolate milk, all the stuff I was going to give you for free. And will I make any money on cars that I sell? No. Jim Seals Auto Farm. In Santa Clarita. I'm Jim Seal. Just turn right at the sign with the man with the smile, Jim Seal's Auto Farm.
That Jim Seal is about as jacked over.
Now, what is up with Jim Seal?
Jim's been a longtime sponsor on the show, and I say this with the greatest of respect to Jim, but he couldn't find it with both hands, you know.
I think so.
I got on the phone with Jim Seal Auto Farm.
Jim Seal at Jim Seal Auto Farm. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing very good, Phil. I wish that you'd have a little bit more of an understanding with Jim Seal Auto Farm because we have not gotten the transport out here, as I was saying to you.
No, I understand that, but don't you think you ought to figure out whether you're going to have a transport there or not before you start promoting?
Well, we had promotion that 3 months ago, saying we're going to have the big summertime promotion, and you're telling me that they're not going to have transport out here with a car. Now, I don't know what you think I'm trying to do or what I'm trying to be. If you think you're bigger than me, you think you do what I can do, I can do what you do me do. But Jim Seal Auto Farm, I tell you what, you come a mile to the man with a smile, Jim Seal Auto Farm. This is very embarrassing because most of the things that we try to pitch to the audience, try to pitch to our customers, are very positive.
It's a very positive experience going to Jim Seal's Auto Farm. I understand that. And it's not that I don't like your commercials. I am tempted to give you your money back.
Oh, no, I won't hear about it. Now they have the money back. I'm not going to do that.
Well, I don't understand why you want to run an ad on the show where the cars haven't shown up yet. What?
Yes, Mr. Hall.
Oh, great.
Now, David Hall on the phone. I want to talk to you. Let me tell you something. David G. Hall, the one that told me this, and I told him that, and he told me this. Now, get David G. Hall on the phone.
Yeah, look at Jim. This is David G. Hall.
How you doing?
You bought the airtime. I didn't know the cars didn't show up.
Well, the thing with the cars didn't show up on account of the transport got stuck at Hueneme.
I don't know what's going on at Hueneme.
Well, you know the Hueneme is going to get stuck over there. Because they have not only that naval traffic, as well as commercial traffic. The car gets stuck at Hueneme.
What does he mean by Hueneme?
Port Hueneme, which is where the cars are coming in at?
That's exactly right. Car coming into the port. Now, I got no cars to sell. All I got is a roller coaster. I got a hot dog.
Yeah, we know all about the hot dogs and the roller coasters, okay, Seal? I was the guy that sold you the airtime. And Phil's trying to give you your money back? That's not going to happen. I can tell you that right now.
Why are we taking a man's money if the promotion he's having?
That's all right, Phil. I'm a man of my word. You go a mile with a man with a smile, Jim Seal Auto Farm. Look at Jim. Quit doing the commercial. I'm just telling you, I don't want to give the money back. I don't want the money back. Phil doesn't have to give me the money back. Are you done? Jesus Christ! Jim, you know, all I was trying to do is save you and me the embarrassment. Hello?
Hang up.
He hung up.
Well, nice going, Henry.
No. This wasn't me. This was you, man. Jim Seal's Auto Farm.
Look, when that guy starts in with a mile with a man with a smile...
No, you're not giving him his money back.
He doesn't want it back. He doesn't want it back.
Aren't you guys... The guy said he doesn't want the money back. The man with the smile. What do you know? You go a mile with the man with a smile.
Look, I don't care if he is paying for that, man. It's too complicated. I don't want us to have to...
Yeah, look, you want to give the guy his money back. At least now he's paying the money. Got to do it the right way.
Yeah, Missouri.
What's the line?
The line is, every time you say Jim Seal's name, you're supposed to say, turn right at the sign and go a mile to the man with the smile, Jim Seal.
Every time I say his name?
That's what he's paying for, Phil.
All right. So every time you see the sign...
No, no. When you see the sign, turn right and go a mile to the man with the smile.
All right. We were just talking to, when you see the sign, turn right and go a mile to the man with the smile, Jim Seal. Is that right?
Yeah, that's it.
And he was saying to David G. Hall that he did not want his money back. David said to, every time you see the sign, turn right and go a mile to a man.
Will you get out of here with that? That's what we're supposed to do.
I can't talk that way.
You can't talk like that?
No, I can't. It's like speaking a foreign language.
Well, I'd try it, but I'd wind up sounding like a real jack. I'd wind up sounding like a real hammerhead.
All right.
Jesus Christ, Margaret.
Well, I would.
We'll be right... No, we're not going to be right back. We're still here. And I have some stories that I want to talk about. And one of them is, did we finally get through that whole jive bull crap thing about the...
Yeah, you did it, Miss Sally. Who cares, man?
Now, the other... the Ukraine. I guess we might as well finish up with that. General, you're a military guy.
Well, let me just say this. The Ukraine has no hope militarily. Now, what's the United States? What is our move? It seems to me that President Obama is doing what he can, sanctioning, and otherwise, as he said, isolating Russia to the world community. I think this guy Putin, the only friends he has in the world are these jive-ass Arabs. Now, these Arabs, they wouldn't know it with if they found it with both hands. That's how messed up they are. And this guy Putin is giving a record book to. I mean.
Rocket launchers, right?
Yeah, rocket launchers to Hamas, and this is a bad move. So what he's got is he can distract the United States and the rest of the world community with the Hamas causing troubles for Israel, and meanwhile, they're the stuff they're doing.
Well, so what's the solution?
Well, the solution is to continue to isolate Russia, and if there is a shooting war down there, and we don't want Russia... taking over that part of the Ukraine, the United States is very, very, very clear what we do. We have to undermine the Russians by way of material support as well as personnel, but I think mostly material support and political support in that area of the world.
So in other words, we become the China and Russia for Russia's Vietnam.
No, this would not be Russia's Vietnam. Hold on for a minute. This is right on their border. This is like Russia's Mexico or something. This is a problem that Russia's got. And here's the thing. I don't know what kind of troubles the Ukraine causes Russia other than the fact that they are cozying up to the West. Now, let's put the shoe on the other foot and let's talk about Mexico. Were they cozying up to Russia and to China and to, say, North Korea? We would consider that to be pretty, pretty serious, and we would have all kinds of jackasses in Congress jumping up and down and screaming bloody murder and saying what they usually say, what is Obama doing about it, see?
Hold on for just a second. You're saying what?
I'm saying that...
Phil, that's the Monroe Doctrine. You have to understand what the Monroe Doctrine is all about.
What about the Monroe Doctrine?
The Monroe Doctrine...
Don't you know about that? That was James Monroe.
Yeah, I know that.
Hold on. The Monroe Doctrine was a doctrine. It's not law. It was a doctrine. In other words, it was an expression of policy by an American president. He said, this is what I'm going to do. Anytime the Europeans decide to screw around over here in the Western Hemisphere, we are going to meet that threat, and we're going to drive their asses out of here. So our doctrine is this. The Western Hemisphere now is off limits to Europe and to the rest of the world in terms of empire building. No more European powers coming over here and colonizing. So that when, for instance, France went into Mexico in the 1860s, right in the middle of our Civil War, it was very much noticed by Lincoln and by the American administration. We were in the middle of a Civil War, so we couldn't deal with it right then and there, but we were all set to deal with it when the war was over. We were going to send American troops into Mexico. That's what was going to happen. If the Mexicans themselves hadn't taken care of the problem, and they did. Juarez and his army overran Mexico City. They took the emperor prisoner. They drove the empress out of the country. They kicked the French the hell out, and they executed the emperor. This was the emperor of France, who was the emperor of Mexico, I should say, Maximilian, who was put there by the French. So now you have the Monroe Doctrine as it is applied in that instance. It was going to be a shooting war. And the Monroe Doctrine has sort of guided American presidents ever since.
They're going to go in and invade.
Well, we would invade Mexico. Why would we invade Mexico? That would be a violation of their national sovereignty.
Yeah, but Phil is saying the Monroe Doctrine.
It's not a law. You don't have to do it. Obama could say the Monroe Doctrine is no longer operable. It would probably get a whole bunch of dumbasses upset with him, and they'd say, well, how dare you? This has been in place for hundreds of years. Right now, the Monroe Doctrine is violated. The Russians, I believe, have been either building a naval base or going to build a naval base in Argentina, I think, or Brazil. The Russians are doing business with that part of the world, and they have a Russian presence there. I don't know if it's a full military presence, but I know that they're constructing some kind of a naval installation. All right. But the point is, if Mexico were to get into bed with the Russians or the Chinese, the same way the Ukrainians are getting into bed with Europe, we would be alarmed. Russia is alarmed. Now, is Russia alarmed for the same valid reasons that we would be? Frankly, I don't think so, because you know something? I would rather have the threat of a civilized part of the world like Western Europe and the United States than the threat of a place that's still emerging from the chaos of communism and the czar, like Russia is, and a bunch of fly-by-night Democrats like the Chinese.
I don't understand what you're saying. Now, I do know this, though.
You guys aren't even listening.
It's going well past interesting.
Yeah, Phil, you're starting to give these speeches. No one knows what you're talking about, for Jesus' sake. I say we go in, and we go in with everything we got now. And we kick those Ruskies out of there, or let me know the reason why. I'll tell you that.
I'm with you, General.
Thank you very much, bud.
Hey, get out of here. All right, we're going to be right back on the Phil Hendry Show and continue this pointless discussion here on the Ukraine. We also have appeals court strikes down Oklahoma gay marriage ban, which was also the case in Florida, I think. They struck down the gay marriage ban there in the Keys or some jazz. I don't know what it was.
In the Keys? What is that? Oh, they think they've got another country there, don't they?
I don't. It was an appeals judge in the Florida Keys that struck down the gay marriage ban in Florida, I think. Here is DJ Snake. Turned down for what?
Jesus H. Christ.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show here from the El Pacifico, reminding you that coming up tomorrow we have our BSP only show. So if you're a BSP, get a backstage pass out, man. Get your username in. Listen to tomorrow's Saturday only show right here on the Phil Hendry Show.
Smoking loud on a yacht, Louis V. Everything to my motherfucking sock. Yeah, oh.
Yeah.
And I'm living at the top.
Yeah.
Got no ice in my drink.
Yeah.
Got enough in my watch.
Yeah, yeah, oh.
And these girls going wild. Shots got us turned up, so we can't turn down.
Yeah,
VIP getting served like tennis balls.
What?
Bank account dizzy, cause we spend it all. Getting paid, turned up, ain't no better way. After I'm smoking, I stay at the heaven gates. In the club, and she gone off the Snow White. Pulling up, activists, I need more Sprite. Throw this cash, watch me start a riot. Lead a club, then we taking chicks to the highest. Still got my whole clique on a Kush diet. Ass clapping, what a money pop.
I better turn that down. I don't want to get all these guys upset with me, you know.
What do you mean, all these guys upset with you?
Oh, you know, the people who don't dig hip-hop, they get flipped out. They start freak. They think white civilization is,
Wait, are you talking about just regular white folks don't like music? Is that,
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, it's very funny to me. My generation of people, the baby boomers, who think they're so great, and I've been saying for a long time now, the baby boomers aren't all that, you know? I mean, we think that we're... Where the hell are my glasses, bud?
Oh, dude, they were on your head, God.
I don't know what happened to them, man. I lost them. And I don't know where the hell they go, man. Do I kick them under the table or something?
Would you bring down about 6 pairs of glasses for this man? Because every time he loses a pair, we are...
Yeah, but sir, I gotta stop down and look for him.
That's right, you gotta stop down and look for him, man, okay? That's just the way it is, baby. Welcome to my show. Welcome to my world.
All right.
So we have this generation of people, we think that we just know it all, baby boomers. And those of you that have had to suffer us and put up with us, like our parents, like our kids, and like succeeding generations, you know that we're full of crap. Now, one of the things that we're really full of crap about is how daring we are and how much we are interested in new music. And because our music was just fantastic. You know, that's what we think. But we sound exactly like our parents did. Every time some hip-hop or some metal comes on, we sound exactly like our folks. What are you listening to that garbage for? You know, so to anybody that may, you know, send me a message or send me a mention on Twitter or anybody that may write me a fan letter or something like that, and you're all upset about the music, just remember you sound like an old lady or an old man doing it. You sound exactly like my mom and dad when they'd say, turn down the jungle music, you know. I mean, you sound like some cranky old prick, excuse my language. And, you know, if you don't like it, don't listen to it.
Well, now, so you're just telling people to just go away. And I think that's wrong, Phil. I think you need to...
Phil, you should strike a happy medium and play some of the elderly music, you know.
Like what?
How about some Bob Seger?
Ah! 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 How dare... Are you saying that Bob Seger... My God, and I know the Segers. I know them very well.
You don't know Bob Seger.
I said I know the Segers, plural. I have met his wife, and that's all I'm going to say. I don't want to get into it because it's none of anyone's business. But for you to badmouth Bob Seger...
Bob Seger is fine. I'm sick of... His music, I am, you know, probably as much as he may be sick of me, even though he's probably never heard of me. But the fact is...
Well, once he's heard of you, he'd be sick of you.
Exactly. Once he's heard of me, he'd be... What do you mean, once he's heard of me, he'd be sick? Where are those glasses, man?
I'm still looking for them, Senator.
What else, General? Go ahead. Give me another name.
You're telling... What about Yes?
See, all that... I can't stand that music anymore. I can't listen to that anymore. I listened to it for years and years and years... I listened to it for God knows how long. I played it every day of my life. I played it 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 million times a day. I've heard Stairway to Heaven. I've seen All Good People. Name an artist. Name an artist.
The Rolling Stones.
All right. Tumbling Dice. It's All Over Now. You know, Exile on Main Street. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Beast of Burden. I've heard those songs until I want to vomit blood. I'm telling you.
God almighty, Phil, you really know how to conjure a disgusting image. Vomit blood. You're talking about Keith Richards. Well...
Yeah, when I think of Keith Richards, I think of vomiting blood, I'll tell you that.
Well, maybe he has. Not you, he has. And I think that's something to consider. Keith Richards fell out of a tree, Phil. And he... Now, what are you laughing at?
What are you talking about, Keith? Do you hear that? Yeah, what do you mean he fell out of a tree?
He fell out of a tree and almost died.
Okay.
What do you mean, okay?
Phil, that's Keith Richards. Now, this is a guy that was in what group?
He was in the... Oh, my God. The Rolling Stones.
All right. I know where he was from. I know...
He's not from there. That was just where he's from. He's from England.
I know he's in the Rolling Stones.
And you weren't aware that he fell out of a tree?
No, I was not aware that he fell out of a tree.
Well, now you're repeating it over and over, so it sounds even more gloid-like than it...
Well, what did he? What are you talking about? What was he, some little monkey man? How did he do it?
No, he was not a monkey man. That's very racist. He was...
It's not racist. He's up a tree. What was he doing up the tree?
Excuse me.
That was great. You want some coffee?
Yes, bud. Would you make me some coffee, please?
Whoa, hold on for a minute. He doesn't get called wherever you go to make coffee.
I'll make it. Don't worry. I know how.
And you know, Margaret, walking out of here just because...
No, Phil, it was the way you said it. You went... My God, if I interrupted you every time you were talking...
What are you talking about, Mr. Henry?
Wait, I want in on this. I don't want anyone talking in my stead. So,
Oh, I see. So when we start talking about it again, you're back.
Yes, that's right. Keith Richards was climbing a tree and he fell out of it like the dumb ape that he is. But I admire him, yes. And I think his music is great, yes. And I think the Rolling Stones were a record-breaking, epical, seminal group in the history of music, yes. And when I say seminal, Bud, I don't mean semen, although filth-file it, please.
Yes, ma'am.
And...
Oh, so now we're filth-filing even a totally legitimate word like seminal. That's,
I didn't say...
What's wrong with the Indian?
It's not an Indian, you ass in a hat. God damn it.
S-E-M-I-N-A-L, seminal, as in foundational.
Oh, like semen.
Jesus Christ, Hickman. After everyone told you not to say the word...
Well, I didn't know. I mean...
You know, Dickman, you break all records for ass plus jack equals ass jack.
Not jackass.
No, I've just invented a new one. Ass plus jack is ass jack.
Okay, and what?
That's worse than jackass, I think. Anyway.
No, I'll go with you on that.
Thank you.
Okay, so you're not just a jackass, you're an ass jack. How about that?
Yeah. That doesn't hurt me at all.
So that's not as offensive as jackass.
No, that doesn't send me, no.
You wouldn't take $20 to get down on your knees, huh?
Will you shut up? So, anywho, Margaret, thank you very much for your opinion, but I think we will move past whatever it was we were talking about, because I completely forgot.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
Thank you, Robert. At least,
Yeah, I don't know. I think we've all lost track of what you're talking about, because when you lose track, we lose track. And when we lose track...
You lose track.
Yeah. Okay, so thank you very, very deeply. I was looking for my glasses. That's the thing that took me off the track. All right, welcome back to our program anyway, sports fans. Nice of you to be with us here on this Friday. The weather has been absolutely just splendiferous. Tomorrow we're going to go over to our good, close, personal friend Derek's studio. He of Drunk History, and do some stuff. And then what else we got planned? I don't know.
Well, you're just going to be hoofing about, as you like to say.
Yeah, I'll just be, you know, out and about this weekend. Generally on the weekends, I don't go into L.A., and I heard a very interesting story. You know, where we do our show is north of the city of Los Angeles by about 35 miles. We're on the coast near a city called Port Hueneme. Port Hueneme, made famous in the film There Will Be Blood.
Yeah, that's when he said we should build a pipeline.
Right, Daniel Plainview. What we'll do is build a pipeline from here to Port Hueneme. Well, that's where we...
That's a very good Daniel Plainview.
Thank you.
And that was, of course...
I get it, Margaret. Thank you. So that's where we're near. But we're in Ventura County. And Ventura County has a very interesting relationship with L.A. County. It has a relationship with L.A. County that is counter to Orange County's and probably any other county, in that they say here, if they say it once, they say it a million times, we're not going to turn into another valley. So they don't want to become an extension of the San Fernando Valley. And Ventura County could very well become that, were the county fathers and the city fathers of a mind. But there has been, for the longest time in this county, an effort at preserving Greenbelt and making sure that they still have an agro economy here, and making sure that when they do build, that they don't, it doesn't turn into blight on the hillsides. Got really beautiful hills here along the coast. So when you're driving through this county, you see really beautiful green hills.
I think it's absolutely lovely, and I admire how they have kept things beautiful here, and at the same time, I think they are an unconscionable pack of hillbillies for keeping business out. So I love Ventura County, but the people that run this county are nothing but a pack of finger-sniffing hillbillies. There, I said it.
Margaret, that...
I'm sorry, I had to say it.
A pack of finger-sniffing...
You heard me.
Yeah, Mr. Henry.
So you have supplanted Nose Picker.
Yes, Nose Picker never did it for me. When you're talking about the kind of billy that they've got here in Ventura County, we're talking about, pardon me for saying this, finger sniffers.
Well, Margaret, you have to go up.
I said it.
So they're sniffing their fingers.
Because they...
Why? What did you say?
Because they wipe with them.
Because they wipe with them.
Phil, I tried... Margaret, I told you the whispering thing doesn't work.
All right, so the county fathers here.
Yes, the county fathers here. God, Phil.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I don't know what it is you're trying to say.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that I was sitting here in the presence of oratorical genius. And don't ask me what it means, and don't tell me that I pronounced it wrong, and don't criticize what I just said at all. Keep moving.
Yes, sir, mein Führer.
Keep moving.
So, anyway, yes... That's exactly, because Ventura County could have so much more than what it has right now. Not an extension of the valley. No, 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 no. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that rather than sit around all day sniffing their fingers and then putting the other hand under their... You know what I mean, Phil. No, I don't know what you mean. What a dickhead. Excuse me.
Phil.
I don't know what she's talking about. I don't read minds, all right?
She's saying, rather than sit around the city fathers in this county, or excuse me, the county fathers in this city, well,
you're talking about the county fathers in the county.
The county fathers in the county, rather than sit around sniffing their fingers and then looking down at the hand they're sitting on and pulling that hand out and sniffing that and then looking back and forth between two hands like a bunch of overall-wearing and derby-wearing asshats, they ought to do something to build this GD county up.
This county's doing fine, okay? And besides, the house that I own out here is the one that I got in the divorce. I got no choice. I got no choice. You remember what Robert De Niro said in...
Yes, in Raging Bull.
Oh, you're back, huh?
Yes, I went in on this. When you start bringing up real estate or Raging Bull, I'm back in the studio.
Yeah.
Okay, great. It's nice to see you, Margaret.
Yes, great.
So Ventura County is that kind of a place. Now, I'm talking to a friend of mine who grew up here. Now, you go into L.A. for things. One of the people that grew up here, in fact, was the actor Kevin Costner, and it was rather charming, I think. It wasn't, 2 years ago? He debuted, he had the premiere of one of his movies right here in downtown Ventura at the movie theater there.
What? Yes. What is the name of that theater?
I don't know. It's like the Ventura, I think, and it's right there near the street that heads up to the City Hall. And another friend of mine who grew up here, Kevin Costner's not a friend of mine, so...
Yeah, you said another friend of you tried to slip it in, didn't you?
No, I didn't slip in anything. No, he's not a friend of mine. There. Is that clear enough?
Well, Phil, don't leave the wrong impression.
Yeah. No, he's not. I don't want to be a guy that's sniffing my finger, then looking down at the other hand that I'm sitting on and pulling that...
Well, you get the idea.
Right. So, it's time now to take a break. See, I'm trying to get these stories out, but you guys won't let me because you're big, fat mouths... Fill your big fat mouths, as Jackie Gleason used to say. Big! All right, we're going to be right back on the Phil Henry Show. I love this song. This is a song called Crosses from a band called For All Those Sleeping. For All Those Sleeping. It's a group from St. Cloud, Minnesota. The album Incomplete Me.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back to the finger sniffers up here in Ventura County in just a moment. I can assure you, I can readily assure you. This song.
I love it. I love it. My favorite part of death growl singing is when the guy goes, I know you want it.
Yeah, you like to hear a young man start out sane and well-groomed and doing the bidding of his parents, and then suddenly the madness overtakes and he stands there with a hatchet covered in blood. God!
So that's what you hear when you hear a song like this.
Yes, I do, and it frightens me, Phil. Any mother of a 14-year-old boy immediately begins to... She fears for her son, and she also puts...
And she also does what?
She puts a hand over her genitals.
Jesus.
Jesus.
For All Those Sleeping from Incomplete Me, that's our pick to click, baby.
Yeah.
On a world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I think that's for all those sleeping from St. Cloud, Minnesota. I've always been fascinated as to where the music originates in our country, you know, because there's always a... There's a school that will say, well, you know, Seattle and San Francisco and New York and New Orleans and different places from time to time are Minneapolis for a while had the crown.
What do you mean Minneapolis?
Minneapolis?
You ever heard of Prince? Oh.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Husker Du.
Well, I don't know who they are.
Soul Asylum. Yeah, they're all Minneapolis bands, okay?
All right, you made your point, Phil.
Okay, well, you know, L.A. Is not the only place, okay?
Now, what's the band from Long Beach that we love here?
Rival Sons. Great group. Fantastic group. Rival Sons is from Long Beach. This other group that we've played from time to time here, Suicide Silence, this is a group from Riverside. Out in the Inland Empire, as we like to call it. But then throughout the country, you know, All That Remains is a Springfield, Massachusetts band. It's a couple of bands from Massachusetts that are great. They're doing well. We mentioned Chelsea Grin from Salt Lake City. So, and then from the Pacific Northwest, from Seattle, is Demon Hunter. So this country, because the recording process now is an entrepreneurial effort. People have studios in... Yeah, I remember when Linkin Park recorded, I think, a number of tracks from their tour bus. Not that it was the first time that was done, because there's a lot of mobile units that that groups have.
Didn't you? You well, you work for West... You...
Take it easy, Donald. Take it easy.
Whoa, hit me, will you, bud? Whoa. Thank you.
Yeah.
I got stuck there. You...
You got stuck.
Yes, I got stuck, all right? I'm not a young man anymore, Phil, and time has taken its toll. I'm a combat veteran, hello.
Yes, sir, I understand.
Now, you were in with Westwood One, right?
Yeah, I was with Westwood One, and we had a big mobile unit.
Now, where did you go with that?
Well, I only went one time. I should say this was mostly run by a separate a division of Westwood One. They had this mobile unit, recording unit, that maybe it still does, I don't know, but there was a show called In Concert, and there was the Superstar Concert Series, and Westwood One would get the rights to the recording of different shows and go around the country recording them. And the only time I was ever with them was for two foreigner shows, one in Austin and one in Dallas. And I remember, interestingly, after the Austin show, which was supposed to be a warm-up, the Austin show was supposed to be not so much a warm-up as a backup. So if anything went wrong with Dallas, you'd have the Austin tape. If any particular song was not that good, they could replace with other. So they sort of mixed and matched it.
Well, wait a minute. They're saying that Foreigner in Dallas... But it could have been Austin.
Well, I don't know that they would have said that. They might say, well, some of this was recorded in Austin, and some was recorded in Dallas. But that was just in case. But I remember, and for me it was, those of you that are in the recording business, this is kind of standard for you, but I'd never seen it done. We're standing there in the trailer. It was after the show was over, and we're in the control room of the recording. Well, I guess the whole thing's one big control room.
By me, a control room.
Where all the recording equipment is and all the controls are. And Mick Jones, who was the guitarist and a keyboard player for Foreigner, came in. And one of the engineers said to him, during, I forget the song, you missed the chord here. And he put on the headphones and he listened to it. And they had a keyboard there in front of him. So he listened along, they rolled the track.
Oh, and he recorded in the proper...
Yeah, he recorded in the proper key. So during the live performance, he was on the keyboards, and they for whatever reason, maybe he missed the chord, maybe hit a sour note, maybe the sound went out or something. But he, in the trailer after the show, then listened along, and at the right moment they hit record, he hit the right series of keys, and they were able to dub it in. See?
Now, there's a word. When you say dub, what is dub?
That means to record it.
Yeah, it means to dub something in is to dub it is to record it. And so that was part of the mobile recording process then. Well, now it isn't just a big company like Westwood One that can do all that stuff. Now all of these bands
especially bands that are successful and that have major production efforts behind them, like, for instance, a Linkin Park, they can afford to record these shows themselves. They can afford, forget about live recording, they can afford to record the entire album themselves, produce the album themselves while they're traveling. So they have a mobile studio, or they have a studio in somebody's house, they have a studio in someone else's house, they have a studio, maybe they got two or three studios that they work in, all of them contained and operated by the bands themselves. And then the record companies, which are smaller and smaller and more specialized, become distribution arms.
Yes, and then they sign the group. Because I know a number of people involved with some of the smaller labels. I don't want to drop any names. Fearless.
You don't want to drop any names, but you just dropped one.
One name.
Yeah, you probably, maybe Frank owns it.
Frank doesn't own any recording studio, I can assure. Frank wouldn't go near the recording business with your lips. So.
Huh?
Yeah, just don't play it back, Phil. That's what I said.
All right. Yeah, so...
Yeah, and so there's a lot of these smaller labels that... this little group here that you're talking about, For All Those Sleeping, now what about them?
All right, well, For All Those Sleeping, for example, gained a big, big following in St. Cloud over the years. They met in high school, I think, in St. Cloud, Minnesota, and the band over the years got a following going and attracted the attention of one of these labels. And so... the demos that they recorded obviously were produced by themselves. One of the label, I don't know the label that they're on, but the label obviously got very interested in them, signed them to a deal. And then the label will help offset, you know, they'll distribute, they will produce the live shows, they will obviously do a lot of promotion and marketing on behalf of the band. So there's benefits. This is all that this is, folks. If you think about recording the way you think about if you're a contractor, for instance, or let's say you're somebody who has just purchased a home, and you bring in someone who does tile, and you bring in somebody who does electrical, and you bring in somebody to lay new carpeting, in a lot of ways, the band is the homeowner, and the record company is just some guy they brought in to, you know, put in the tile and put in the carpeting.
What are you talking about, man? I mean, a record label, that's a big deal.
Well, sure, it's a big deal. I'm not saying it's not a big deal. I'm just saying they're working for these groups now more than ever before. It's, in my opinion, it is a tough environment to make money in and to do business in, but it's never been a better time to be your own employer, to be your own person. There are so many opportunities for so many of us. Forget about recording, forget about the podcasting and broadcasting world. In your own lives, in your own worlds, the economy has changed, but I believe while we do have more people out of work because of that, we also have more opportunities for these small companies that are starting up to hire people and to, and a lot of people that are being hired, you know, are now hiring themselves out as independent contractors. My own stepson, Alex, is like our operations manager for our company. And yet he also is an independent contractor. He goes and he does business for himself in a lot of different areas of multimedia. So, you know.
Well, that's this morning's pep talk from Uncle Phil.
Yes, that's this morning's pep. What do you mean a pep talk?
A pep talk, not a pep. A pep pop.
A pep talk. Wow.
All right, Phil. I wasn't trained as a professional broadcaster.
Margaret.
I wasn't trained as a professional broadcaster. I'm so angry that I just had my friend Bud Dabar.
That's a sign she's angry.
Thank you, Bud.
So let me just get this straight. In the overwhelming insanity that this show operates in, now we have a new area of weird. When you're pissed off, you don't pronounce words well.
I purposely don't pronounce. I'm very angry now.
Okay, so when you start talking like that, I'll know you're pissed.
Yeah.
What are you pissed at, Margaret?
I'm not pissed.
She says she's not really pissed. She's just showing us what she does.
Yes, I'm not really pissed off, Phil, but when I do get pissed off, that's going to happen.
All right. If you put your leg up on a table, I'm going to be able to look up your skirt.
I got carrot.
Wait a minute. Come on now. Hold on.
I thought I got carrot, boy. I thought I got carrot, man.
Jesus.
I can see up your taco.
See you later tomorrow, the BSP only show, the Saturday only show for BSPs. Listen. To settle the score, he's loaded to feel I'll do it. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, executive produced by me, Phil Hendry, for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved to the Sideshow Network.
And I'm General Galen Shaw. You can take this whole thing and shove it right up your taco.
Don't get that.
Oh, shut up.